Well, as they're going out, what an honor it is to be in the house of the Lord. So glad that you're here with us today and glad that you're well. And wanted to just share, I'm going to be sharing this here and there. There are two books being featured in the bookstore this week. And again, these are for families, but we have offerings for all ages. But these are prayer guides. And it's good, I think, in the beginning of the school year to kind of start new habits with our kids and in our families and in our homes. And so there's lots of resources to do that, but there specifically are these prayer guides. One is for boys and one is for girls, and it helps parents guide them through things that we should be praying for and getting used to praying for. And so if you're interested in that, great, right? Great way to kind of guide you through. A lot of people ask questions, well, what do I do spiritually with my kids at home? Well, we have plenty of ways to get you going in that direction. Men, you did a great job. I could not believe on Wednesday night, Mike, the turnout, and so glad to see all of you. Many of you are a lot better than poor John and I. Can I really admit that? We did not score any, and that was really embarrassing. So anyway, against like a, I don't know, what is he, like 16, 14, 12, whatever, felt like a little kid to me, but, and my father-in-law. And so just picture, okay, I'm always ragging on him, and we have zero, and they're 19, and my father-in-law swishes in the last one for 3 points. I mean, how aggravating, right, John? Anyway, who are the winners? Are they here? They'll be here in second service, but Chris and Kevin, and I think Dave tried to leak in there with Mike a little bit at the third spot, and Mitchell at second, and his brother. So great day, great time. Thank you so much, Mike, and thank you, Ed, for preparing the meal, and guys, for being there. Great things coming up for the Ministry to Men's in September. Wednesday nights, we're going to have two offerings, one specifically for men that have children in the home, and then one specifically for men that don't. So great things coming up in the fall. Well, preseason football has what? It's begun. And the Eagles did what? They lost. Oh, God. I can't believe it. Anyway, a great start. And so, you know, the beginnings usually tell what, how things are going to roll, but not necessarily in preseason. Why? Because they're not playing all their first string and their starters. So we're okay. Again, we're going to continue in this journey as what it means to be more than just a fan of Jesus and really becoming a follower. And there's quite a few things that are key to understanding what it means to follow Jesus intimately. So y'all got your Bibles or on your phone or whatever? Just say yes. Yes. All right, good. It's gloomy out. We can't be gloomy in here. So we're going to be in Mark chapter 9, verses 33 through 37. And once you have that, if you would please stand with me for the reading of God's word this morning. Most of you are going to know this passage well, have probably heard it preached, read through it, tried not to be that. And so we're going to take a different approach to this and really understanding Jesus in these moments, not necessarily what was being said by the individuals, but here we go. And they came from Capernaum, sorry, and when he was in the house, he asked them, this is Jesus asking his disciples, what were you discussing on the way? And interestingly enough, I love this, they were silent. But they kept silent, for on the way they had argued with one another about who was the greatest, forgetting that like the greatest was really in front of them and he could hear them. They kind of maybe forgot that in the moment. I don't know. I don't know if we've ever forgotten things that are like right in front of us. And he sat down and called the 12 and he said to them, think about this. He sat down and called the 12 and he said to them, if anyone would be first, he must be last. He must be last of all and servant of all. And he took a child, and this is different than how he did with children before. This is significant, new thing. He took a child and put him in the midst of them. And taking him in his arms, he said to them, whoever receives one such child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives not me, but him who sent me. God, help us to understand this. God, I believe this passage, if not lived out well, is going to be the reason why many good Christians do not get to spend eternity with you. Because, God, we are prideful people. And God, we read all through the Word about pride and how it gets in the way of you and us. And so today, we're going to stand as strong as we can in your power and in your strength, and we're going to come before you and say, God, let pride be not a part of who we are. And so we ask that you would remove the enemy from this place in the name of Jesus and all the power that comes with it. And we ask this in Jesus' name. And all God's people said, amen, amen. So thinking again about authentic followers, they are humble servants. As I've been studying this, even last year when I began to just hear from the Lord about kind of the journey in this, it seems so simple. And yet I just genuinely believe that many people in the churches today will not see Jesus because of these statements. Because it is so hard for us to put aside our self, our pride, our thoughts, to receive that which is the Lord's. It's just difficult. We know the scripture and we know sayings say things like, pride goeth before the fall. And here they are, right, in the midst of Jesus, recognizing that they are actually journeying right alongside of him, seeing how he just basically reaches whoever, discussing which one of them is going to be the, right? And you can be honest with yourselves, because it's at every church. People love to rise up, to be known, to be the one where the buck stops at. Well, I'll tell that pastor, well, don't you worry, because I'm the greatest in the, and I'm the most well-known, and I make the most money, and I'm the most influential in the, so it's going to be me. That's what was happening along the way. And it's still happening along the way. So think about these words. Interestingly enough, this whole passage kind of centers in on two things, being humble and being lowly. Now, we've been singing the VBS song, but my children use all different words, right? Holy, lowly, no, not one, no, not one. You know the song? There, na-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da- now. I can't remember it all, but hey, they sing it all the time. But it's lowly Jesus. Interestingly enough, when we look at this, it's actually, he's implying rank. Now in the army, rank's a big thing. And honestly, it really isn't that big of a thing in the enlisted, except that every day they wanted to get further enlisted. Why? Because they got more money. Really, that was always the head of the conversation. Then you had those go-getters that they wanted it because of power. So, but most of the time, talking to soldiers, they wanted to move up in rank because they wanted to better provide for their families, for themselves. They wanted the benefits that came with that. And then you had that smaller group that was like, I want to be the best. And so rank was a big deal. And in the army, they set it up incentively so that you will continue to strive to the next rank. Because who wants to stay on the bottom? And here, Jesus was saying specifically that rank in life doesn't matter. He was saying that it had nothing to do with dignity. That just because you were something does not give you the dignity of being a part of the kingdom of God. Again, he was really talking about the heart of people. He was actually saying the lowest, the least, those that were at the bottom. If you would let them go first and you go behind, you're going to really get to be a part of the kingdom of God. And so, this whole passage is all about lowly and humble. And it's hard. It's hard amongst pastors. Pastors struggle with this. They want to be something else. They want to be known. So it's not just another overall before we really get into this, is that I like this in that in the scripture we see it translate. And I like this because Jesus is so sweet to us. Instead of hearing what they said, you ever been there? Now, I'll be honest with you, as a pastor, I'm constantly hearing from y'all. through text or email, through calls. It wasn't just AFC, it was Nacogdoches. And every pastor I talk to, they say the same thing. Okay? You get the text, right? This situation happened, so and so said this. You know what I want to do, right? Y'all know I was like born in New Jersey, okay? I saw people in my high school next to me get stabbed, a little bit of blood on my arm from that. I mean, I had to learn how to. I was never afraid. In the Army, we used to do combat fighting. I don't like it at all. Didn't I? I would fuss about it and hate it, but there wasn't one that could get me because I knew what to do, but I don't want to do it. So instead of just like turning around and saying, y'all, you just don't get it. You're walking with me, watching me, and you don't get it. See, that's in my humanness what I want to do, right? You hear or see someone doing something wrong, you want to just tell them off. That's in our humanness. Come on now, y'all, that's the truth. You've done told people off, and maybe you just do it in the quietness of your home or when you have people over to your house. You know what I'm saying? Like, that may be your jam. But in my opinion, Jesus heard what's going on. You know what he did? He waited, kept walking, and he said, let's go in the house. So he took the 12 into the home, and he shut the door. He didn't embarrass them down the street. He didn't call them out around the people that he was ministering to. He didn't let the Pharisees see it. He gently took them into the home and he sat. Church, this is beautiful. He knew what was happening, but he continued on the journey to the destination, let them talk it out, and then said, let's go inside and have a moment. A couple of things Jesus did. See, oftentimes when we preach this, we focus on like what the people were discussing and about the greatness and where do we fall. But let's talk about just Jesus today. Jesus knew. Jesus knows. Jesus positioned himself. Jesus continues to position himself. Jesus embraced, and Jesus continues to embrace. And those are the three things today that we're going to look at. So let's start out with Jesus knew. You know, one day we're all going to say, oh man, like he really knew everything. You know what I'm saying? And we're going to say, I wish I hadn't, right? Now what's crazy is they were right there with him. So I'm just curious as to why they didn't get that, like he probably knew what was going on, but somehow they just kind of forgot that for a moment, that Jesus kind of knows. It's one of the most unfortunate things, let's just be honest, right? About Jesus. Why? Because what we do in the hidden, he knows all about. What we say in the, he knows. And so just get over it and just know that Jesus knows. He knows your heart. He knows what you say. He knows what you whisper. He knows when you're not right. He just knows. Jesus knew. In fact, this is the third time in Mark that Capernaum was mentioned, and we see that they were going from Caesarea Philippi on this journey, and it's actually translated as a place of confession, and they were headed to Jerusalem, which was a place of crucifixion. Now you say, well, that's just coincidence. I don't really know, not much what Jesus is, and so you can convince yourself of that. But they were going from a place of confession to a place of crucifixion, and here he's discovering where the hearts of his people are, and he's taking them on this journey of confession, like let's get it out, let's air it out. Jesus knew where they were. He knew they needed, even in these moments, to confess and understand. Here's what I love. Y'all ever been confronted with something you know you did and you really don't know what to do? Now, nowadays we argue a lot. We say, well, that's not completely accurate, but part of it's accurate, and that's not really what I meant. And so we have become really creative with just like, right? But the bottom line is they were silent. Why? They knew. Well, come on now, y'all. You reading the scripture that I'm reading? But they kept silent. You can't translate that any other way. He sat him down and said, and they were silent. Now, when I know my wife's going to ask me something that I don't want to answer, you know what I do? I get busy. You know what I'm saying? Because she likes when I'm busy. That's her love language. So I get to work. And then what's funny is when I'm done working, guess what still comes? The question. Did you buy that? Well, you see, here's the thing, okay? That's how it usually goes. Here's the thing, okay? I was walking through. Well, you're not supposed to be in the stores anyway. I know, but I had to get some for the church. You know, just blame it on the church. You know what I'm saying? And so then you just have to go in and say, but I saw it. It was on sale. Now, she's allowed, okay? She comes home with stuff, and I'm like, uh-huh, it ain't two ways here, but she's different than I am. So anyway, she's providing for the children. I ain't providing for them. You know, most of what I come home with is for the house or, you know, things that are maybe me. Yeah. And then I go into, if you ever use this, well, you know, I go to work every day. Don't use that. You know what I'm saying? That, because by the time I'm done the night, I want to go back to work because them children are like, whew, yesterday I just about wanted to, okay. Oh gosh, the crying, help us. Okay. They were silent. We call our kids and I'm like, sweetie, what's going on? They don't want to talk about it. You know why? Because I called them to correct them for a reason, and they already know I know the reason, and so they just stand there. You know, church, there's times we need to just stand before Jesus and say, okay, I'm big enough, I'm old enough, I get it. Tell me where I can improve. Why? Because he knows. They knew. How often do you know? And you just avoid him, right? Do you ever do this with Jesus? You just avoid him so that you don't have to deal with it. And then you think the next day, well, it's over. You know where Jesus is still? He's still back there waiting. Well, you say, well, I asked so-and-so for forgiveness. What, did you speak to Jesus? Because see, we first sin against our personal Savior. You say, well, they weren't sinning. They weren't speaking truth. And Jesus isn't a big fan of non-truths. So Jesus desires in our silence for us to hear him, for us to respond to him, for us to be okay sometimes to be called out by him and redirected by him. Sweet that they just sat down knowing that this was going to happen. You know, they could have said, hey, I got to go down and take care of. No, they went into the house, pretty much understanding that this was going to be a teachable moment. So then, interestingly enough, Jesus positioned himself. Now, I'm going to relate it to where we position ourselves, but what did Jesus do? Well, they knew him best as a teacher at the time, right? They were getting the fact that, like, he could heal and he had miracles, and they were still trying to wrap their minds around the greatness of Jesus, and he just kept blowing their mind. But here, when Jesus sat down, they knew to do what? Sit down. Why? Because he was about to teach. Why do my girls not want to come when I hear all the screaming and I say, hey, y'all, come down here. Let's figure this out. And they all come down. Sometimes they either come down all going at each other and gibbering about who did what. And sometimes they all come down silent. Why? Because they all in it. You know what I'm saying? So they just all come down quiet knowing everybody's about to have not a good following. You know what I'm saying? Whatever follows this is not going to be what they planned. Interestingly enough, Jesus comes and he sits, and it says in the scripture that they sat, which meant that he wasn't going to scream. He wasn't going to get upset. He wasn't going to say, I couldn't, you know, why would you be saying that when so-and-so could hear you? I've been trying to teach you so that you would be the example, just like the Pharisees would be the example, but you're being just like the Pharisees, and I can't get it. Did you read that? Because see, I didn't. Jesus got in a position of a teacher. The students got in a position to hear. And it became a beautiful, teachable moment. How often do you position yourself in a place where you can be taught by Jesus? And see, it's different. Church, you say, well, I'm sitting right now and I'm in church and I'm willing. I mean after you know that you know, that you know that he knows, and you know it's time for you to sit and receive. See, our posture is key. You know that many of us, and I wish I had this because I think I'd have a lot less problems in my life, but some of you just have an air. I'm just being honest, right? And I can look at you now after this many years and know it's not the day to go to you. You know what I'm saying? Like, you just have that air, and I go thinking I'm going to, and you can ask Karen, I'll come back, and she'll say, what did you ask so-and-so? I'm like, today isn't the day. And she's like, oh, okay. She doesn't argue because she knows you too. And I'm like, today isn't the day. I think I'm going to wait. In fact, I'm going to send a card and a text. I'm going to build up to the ask. You know what I'm saying? Then you say, man, pastor remembered me only because I need you to, you know what I'm saying? But I'm just kidding. That's not true. But sometimes, you know, I got to, like, let the water rest. Because I can just tell. But here's the thing. Should Jesus really have to wait for the water to rest before he teaches you? Because see, I ain't Jesus, but when Jesus comes, shouldn't the water be settled and shouldn't you be ready? See, they came in and knew we messed up. He heard us back there. We better just sit. And so what does their posture tell us? It tells us they were willing to hear. It tells us they were willing to listen. And then it tells us they were willing to change. Because there was no arguments. There was no, well, you see, Jesus, here's the thing. There was no, let me tell you the story. There was no, let me tell you the context. The bottom line, Jesus knew, and they knew. And no matter how it began or who began it, they show us that they got it. Even if it was this big. Even if only one of them started it and the others kind of went along with it. They all knew that they need to sit down and adjust their posture to the teacher. So where is Jesus asking you to sit and adjust your posture and open your hearts and say, okay, I'm willing to hear you? Or maybe when Jesus is trying to speak, you just need to stay silent, get in a good posture, and let him speak. Depends on where you are, or what's being spoken. This is the neatest part of this, okay? And I've been so excited about sharing this with you. And now that I said that, you won't even care. But anyway, Jesus embraced the child, okay? Now, it's kind of sad because in our society, we're really trying to care for and allow children to have a voice. I had moments in my life, and many of you probably my age and down would be able to remember this, but like we went to certain homes, and as we were going to that home, my dad would say, remember, when we sit down to eat, you are not to be heard from. You are to sit there, you are to eat at whatever assigned setting you were given, and then you ask to be excused. And if I say yes, and I feel comfortable at the time, then you can, you know, here's something my parents did so wrong. They made me eat everything on my plate. And so I've continued that, you know what I'm saying? And so now that isn't so good now. But anyway, he would say, and no matter what's placed before you, you are going to eat it. Now we tell the same thing to my children. We just do. If we're going somewhere, I don't care if you like it or not, you're going to eat it. Because you know, when you get home, there is stuff you can eat that will make you feel good, but you are not going to. Our mother-in-law is so crazy. She's like, I don't understand. Like, we slice tomatoes and cucumbers from the garden and they eat them. They walked around the corner yesterday and gone themselves to help themselves and eaten the green tomatoes. I said, babes, I said, they had to be red. Oh, I'm like, well, at least you like it that way. You know what I'm saying? But you have to teach them that. And so we would go, and I still remember my nerves would start. Why? Because I'm becoming less of one, but I was a talker. Are you all aware of that? Okay, I was a talker. And so I would start to get nervous. And my mom would always say, it's not a big deal. It's just during dinner, because she could sense that I was getting nervous and that I was going to slip. And when you slip with my dad, a slip, no matter how big it was a slip. Because I would slip and begin to get my input. And then I wouldn't do it very often after that because I would know in the car that I'm not to do that again. You know what I'm saying? Now, this society was even worse. There were stages in the life of a child and the ways they were accepted. So when a child was born in society, it was very exciting. It was celebrated. Then when a child became of age to begin to think for themselves and begin to speak, they were then considered the lowest, having the least amount of knowledge, the least amount of input. And then when they would hit puberty, they would again be reintroduced and accepted into society. But from about 5 to 12 and 13, they were at that time considered the lowest of the low. In fact, if you study, you'll understand they were underneath women. And at the time, women were, unless they had a place in society, thankfully that's not the case now, I'm just being honest with you, so that you can get what it means for Jesus to have taken a child. What I love about this is that he didn't just take a child and use the child as an example. He took the child and embraced the child. Now, here's what I want you to do. Have you ever been in a moment in your life where you just needed someone to see you and embrace you? Most of the time, when we need that embrace, we are at the worst of the worst. And all we need is that person, that touch, that reassurance, that hug. I'm pretty sure all of us have been in that place where we just need that. And so Jesus, with the disciples silent, he took a child and said, if you can't, then you can't. If you can't embrace this, then you can't embrace me. And then he went further and said, and then you can't embrace what's... So he took the new. He took the lowest of the low, which would not have been a baby. It would not have been a child struggling to speak. It would have been a child full of life, excited about the world, looking forward to what's next, considered to be the lowest. And he took him and he embraced him. Who are you embracing? See, the problem is, this would be translated as saying they were beginning to embrace themselves. And Jesus saw it, and he addressed it. You know why? Because it's easy to begin to embrace ourselves over, place ourselves in places where we can't. Why am I not starstruck? Because how many stars do you hear about their low beginnings, right? And then 40 years later, and I'm talking about one in my head, I won't say the name, 40 years later decides I'm going to do something for society, I'm going to remodel a house in New Orleans for someone less fortunate, and then I go on, well, I'm curious how much they are worth, $340 million in the bank right now, and I'm like, so they remodeled a house in New Orleans, or the place they came from, and that's supposed to make me feel like they're just turned around and their life is... What? And our society just idolizes so many people. And they do a little good here and there, and then you can't even get to them because there's security guards, gates, fences. Which is fine, they need their privacy, protection, I get all that. But Jesus said, if you want to be something in my kingdom, you better be willing to reach all the way down. And then embrace what's down there. Not only embrace it, but because he embraced it, he meant walk with it. Think about this statement. It takes a lot of courage to release the familiar and seemingly secure to embrace the new. But there is no real security in what is no longer meaningful. Do you hear that? There is no real security in what is no longer meaningful. There is more security in the adventurous and exciting, for in movement there is life and in change there is power. This is exactly why the Pharisees didn't want to embrace Jesus. And it's exactly why we need to embrace Jesus. Because see, when you embrace the lowly, you're embracing Jesus. And then when you embrace Jesus, you're actually getting to embrace God the Father. So, being a true follower of Jesus versus a fan, it takes humbling yourself. It takes humility. It takes a time saying, you know what, I don't know about that. You know what, I don't understand that. You know what, I don't have an opinion about that. I'm going to let it go and let the Lord. You know why a lot of kids grow up and want nothing to do with their parents? Because they have a way. Their kids are trying to find a way. And there's a disconnect between the two. We just sat in our home, didn't we? And we talked about it. I had been given away a direction for college. And my dad said no. And the disconnect did what? It started to grow deeper. And for me, it was spiritual compared to non-spiritual. So I'm glad I went the spiritual direction and not the non-spiritual direction. I've actually sat with students who said, I feel a real call to ministry. And I'm like, oh my goodness, that's great. Let's cultivate it. Well, my parents said I need to have something in the back burner just in case the Lord of Lords and the host of hosts and the Alpha and the Omega and the beginning and the end can't handle you and your calling. Y'all, stop making backup plans for your kids that say, then why do you plant the seed? Well, you better have a... And then dads like mine said, you are going to have, or I'm not going to. See, being childlike in faith, because remember he talks about having childlike faith, receiving anyone and practicing adoption is his heart. As hard as that is. And it is hard. I'll be honest, like in our home, it's hard. We have two additional children. One of them is just, I need prayer because it is just driving me crazy. Because it only wants me. And so like, I'm just really feeling like I have no breath. Does that make sense? And I'm just being real. It is strangling me. And it's hard. But the Lord said, embrace the lowest. Embrace who doesn't have a home. Embrace who society would say. Embrace what you normally wouldn't. Don't embrace. True greatness in the eyes of Jesus is true humility. You can only go from fan to follower if you humble yourself. God, today we thank you for this reminder. I've needed it. I've struggled with it. I know there are moments where I don't want to embrace that. But I can't get away from the words where you ended this teachable moment sitting down with your apostles, disciples, friends sitting around you. And you looked as you held a child in your arms. And you said, if you can't, then you can't go through me to him. Meaning God the Father. And I want that more than anything. And so God, my prayer and request for us that are sitting here today is that we would want that more than anything. And that we would want to be such a follower that we sit down and become lowly, humble, and that we exercise and live out humility. So be with us, bless us, be with Sunday School, Lord, as we gather together to learn more about you. Embrace those teachers, love on them, encourage them, be with the students, and God, let it be a fruitful time. And we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you all. Thank you so much for being here. Have a great afternoon. Grab a coffee. Head to Sunday school. There is no fear.
'Cause I believe.